Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season you're gonna reap. Yeah, say be not weary.
Well, hello, welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you are listening to Free on the Inside, an internet ministry that informs you through the Word of God, encourage you to be about our Father's business. Each week we bring on ministries and programs that's making a difference in the lives of God's people. We bring about ministry that looking past themselves and looking into the needs of the other. That's the name of our program, Free on the Inside. As you log into this program, you hear our slogan that says, help change a life. You know, we can't do anything apart from God. Well, maybe your gifts and talent can change someone's life. We never know the thing that God will do through people that hear the gospel, and you have an opportunity to share the gospel each and every week. I mean, we encourage you to be a part of something bigger than yourself here. Thank you for logging on to this program. We come on every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. Our call-in number is 310-982-4126. Again, that call-in number is 310-982-4126. And I would like to thank our founder and CEO, Beverly Beasley, for sponsoring this program each and every week. We're part of a ministry. It's Granny's Place Ministry. It's a nonprofit ministry that's reaching out to our young men and women at risk, attempting to make a difference in their life. I encourage you to go to our website, Granny's Place Ministry.org, and look and see what we're doing. Chime in on what we're doing. Take advantage of the thing that's on that website and be a part of Granny's Place Ministry and reach out to touch the lives of and the hearts of men and women. Amen. Before we go any further, I would just like to just say thank you for continuing to listen to this program. We have a great guest on this morning here. I was encouraged by this ministry and this minister. I was encouraged how God was using her in the ministry to encourage God's people. I keep saying encourage God's people because guess what? Someone did it for me, man. You know, and Jesus said, hey, when you are restored, you are. Wait a minute. When you are restored, you are to strengthen your brother. So we never know what form of strengthening that is. Maybe just a hello, a good smile, or whatever it may be. But the ministry we have on this morning, Yvette Powell, is this week's guest on Blog Talk Radio. She will be sharing with us her ministry that she have as she reaches out to our men and women in downtown Dallas, the homeless population down there, how she's attempting to make a difference through the Word of God. Good morning, Minister Powers.
Good morning, Minister Lewis, and good morning to your audience today.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing here. And we want to thank you for how God is using you. I'm excited about, your ministry. I'm excited about what God is doing. Share with us your ministry and encourage us.
Hallelujah. I'll be glad to do that. And thank you so much for inviting me on the air. It's a privilege. It's an honor to be able to share with your people. And thank you for counting me worthy to do that. Well, Manifest Ministries has been around since 1994. And you know what? Ministry is not really mine. It's not yours. It's God's. It belongs to the Lord.
Yes.
And He decides what He wants us to do with it. It's up to us to go ahead and do, right? I mean, it's up to us to take that step and do what He's called us to do. Manifest Ministries has gone in and out of the prisons in Oklahoma, typically, and also in local here in Dallas. And also, we've gone into the nursing homes and now we're down in the streets. And when I say we, believe it or not, I am a one-man band, not that I choose to be. So if you're listening and God touches your heart, I want you to listen with an open heart because He may be touching your heart to join me in the work of God. But I go downtown Dallas in the area where a large population of people are homeless and they're just wandering the streets aimlessly daily. And I get down there at least once a week with some food for them to eat. And, you know, you can't really reach a man's heart until you reach what is primary, his primary need. And if they're hungry for something to fill their stomachs with, they're not going to be too receptive to the gospel. But when you reach out to them and love them, just like Jesus did when he fed the 5,000, you know, he told his disciples, he said, go get them something to eat. Jesus was concerned that the people that followed him got something to eat. And he said, we don't have anything to eat, you know. We don't have anything to give them, Lord. We just got, you know, here's a little boy over here. He's got, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he doesn't have nothing. Jesus was concerned that the 5,000 that was hearing the gospel was also fed. And so I take something to them to eat, you know, I'll make sandwiches, and typically I'll put lunch bags together, which consists of turkey and cheese sandwiches and a bag of chips, and some of those little Capri Suns and a banana, if I, you know, if the funds are there. And all of the funds come from my pocket. I was blessed just the other week to go to Walmart and ask their assistance. And one of the Walmart stores in the uptown Dallas area did donate. They donated a $50 gift card. So their money, my money together, we fed so much more people, and it doesn't take a lot of money to feed at 50, 60 people. It really does not. It doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take me every week more than $40, $50 to feed 50, 60 people, you know. So, and then I also ask for donations from clothing, from my neighbors, right, just people living around me. You got coats. These people are cold. It's winter. It's bitter. And then I'll take clothes down there, and I'll take my sound system, and I'll go out there, and I'll preach the gospel, and they come out like bees to honey. God is glorified.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, Minister, as you go out and you do these things, how do you get to that point where you're able to go out and minister? You know, I know that there's a bit of comfort and insecurity, mm-hmm. but we know God is greater. Share that with our listening audience.
Oh, absolutely. Let me tell you about a scripture that really resonated in my soul. And it's Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And what stood out to me was the word evil heart. You know, God calls unbelief an evil heart.
Yes.
And, you know, the enemy would like for us to fear doing anything. You know, many of us are afraid to learn how to ride a bike for the first time, afraid to get committed into a relationship, afraid to, you know, go off to college. You know, fear likes to creep in and cause you to paralyze you, to stop you from doing what it is that God has for you to do. And there's really, you know, you've heard it said before, fear is false evidence appearing real. And the reason I have to quote that is because what is that? I mean, what are we afraid of? What do we know for sure that we're afraid of? We don't. You know, it's all in the mind. But God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And he tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So when I go down there, I'll just, you know, say, Lord, go with me, protect me, give me wisdom, and send me helpers, Lord. And every time I go, somebody comes alongside to either help give out the lunches or give out the clothing. They'll give out the food while I'm ministering the gospel. There's always, I'm never without help. I'll go down there on my own, but somebody always comes along and helps me. Last night I went down and a young man came along, and he asked me, he said, I love this. I love what you're doing. People do. They love, you know, they love hearing the gospel as much as the world would like for us to think that nobody wants to hear it anymore. People love it. And he came alongside of me, and he told me that he sings, and I let him sing, and he was certainly anointed. He actually was from the Potter's house. He sang a cappella, and it was awesome. Just gave me chills. And there are times when people will, you know, come down, and I'll let them give a testimony. But you know what? There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear because God is with us and he will not forsake us. We need to go out and do what he calls us to do.
That is so true, because as I always say, we too, because we realize when we go out, we go with the Holy Spirit goes
right.
with us. We don't go alone. And I go down
right.
to the jails, and I see these brothers that are all built up, and they got the tattoos on, and they
mm-hmm.
got this physical procedure. They say, hey, if you come near me, I'm going to hurt you. But I share the mm-hmm. gospel with them, and I see them almost bring tears
mm-hmm.
in their eyes. And they say, brother, mm-hmm. tell us more. And that fear factor had gripped them to the point that they don't want to do anything. They think the jailhouse is their livelihood. They think that's where they need to be, because they're scared. I hear them
uh-huh.
sure say, man, I'm scared to get out because I may do what I always done.
Mm-hmm.
I said, brother, you know what? What you always done going to always be there. It's going to be
mm-hmm.
there from the beginning of time, but God is greater. The
mm-hmm.
same God that you're seeking in here is one able to keep you out there. And I have a sense that you sharing them with them on the street as they come to you being drawn by the Holy Spirit. They're seeking God. They want to have a relationship with God. And Jesus
mm-hmm.
said, hey, wherever you go, I will be there also. And I love that what you're doing. I love how God is using your ministry. Now, as you go out and share the good news with our Lord and Savior, you know, you've been doing this a number of years, but how did you get to this point? You just didn't wake up and start doing it. Share with us, because someone needs to know, hey, how do I go about doing something like this?
Okay, well, you know what? God puts something on the inside of every one of us, and there's a desire. You have a desire to do something, to be something, you know, because a lot of people say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what I'm, you know, what I'm supposed to be. And then somebody asked you the question. Somebody asked me the question yesterday. If you can do anything in the world, what would it be? I didn't hesitate to answer that question, and you can answer it too, whatever it is. Somebody asked you that question. Right off the top of your head, you know what you really want to be. It may not be what you think you can do or can't be, but you know. And I said immediately, I want to open up a shelter home and preach the gospel. Instantly, there was nothing to think about. And when God puts something on the inside of you, that's who you are. That's what you're called to do. And it may not be something that everybody else thinks you should do, but it's what God called you to do. So how did I start doing this? Well, I'll tell you, I didn't get that revelation until I got saved. And I got saved back in 1980. I'm going to say 85, and I heard a brother that a lot of people like to throw to the wind, because when ministers fall, you know, we just want to kick it to the curb, and we don't want anything to do with you anymore after that, but that's not the way God is. And for those of you that are out there and listening and may have fallen from the grace of God, I want you to know I fell too, and God's still using me. So there is restoration in the kingdom of God, so just come on back and do what he called you to do and leave that behind you. But Jimmy Swaggart was a man of God, and he was going off the air when I got on my knees and prayed with him and rededicated my life to the Lord. And, you know, when I watched him reaching all of these people as an evangelist, it was revelation, you know. That's me. That's what I want to do. And every time I would see other ministers, I'd say, that, I know I could be doing that. I should be doing that. You know?
That's great.
So that's how I got started, and I went off to Bible school, you know, I went to Rhema in Oklahoma, and I got equipped with the Word of God, and it takes you staying in the Word of God. You know, not everybody goes off to Bible school. I mean, Joyce Meyer didn't go off to Bible school, but she stayed in the Word, and God equipped her, and he anointed her, and I'm anointed to do what I'm called to do.
Oh, that's great. That's beautiful. That is truly an anointing. Because as we go out and do ministry, you know, they can't pay us enough. You know,
amen.
It's the world can't offer enough to do what you do. You had to give up your time.
Amen.
You had to make sacrifices. But yet you're doing it for the glory of God. As I go down to the jails and the prison and the juvenile ministry, I encourage young men to let go and let God. That's the base of our ministry, being free
mm-hmm.
on the inside. Have that freedom.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, we fall and we don't fail short, but yet God still speaks to us. And I like so
yeah.
much of Gideon. Gideon was hiding out. How often
yeah.
have we found ourselves minister hiding out? You know, we covered up in our job. We covered up in relationship.
Yeah.
We hide it out from God, but God still calls us from that lifestyle to
amen.
A better lifestyle.
Amen.
And then,
amen.
You know, then you say, what would you have me do after we came to the point where
come
we can't
on.
Do no more?
Amen.
Say, God, what would you have me to do?
Oh my God,
he said, hey, I want
exactly.
you to go down here. God, I'm going by myself, but I want you to go down here. And when you go down there, I'm going to send somebody down there. You
yes.
know what I'm saying? You know,
yes,
and
yes,
I love
yes.
that, because you
absolutely.
Say you go by yourself, but yet you don't go by yourself. God sends somebody
never.
With you. And that's why I want to, and that's what we want to encourage our listening audience. The guests, we are not the only one. You are not the only one that have a ministry embedded in you. There's other people that's doing the same thing you're doing. But God going to bring them all together. So you say, hey, you know, it's some other young lady, some other young man that wants to do that and wants to do a ministry, but they feel like they're by themselves. And they hear someone else say, hey, I go by myself, but yet I'm not by myself.
That's right.
I have a host of angels encamped around me.
Amen.
God is sending laborers.
Amen. And you know, you said that scripture, you know, what would you have me to do? That's what the Apostle Paul said when, you know, the Bible tells us that Apostle Paul was an evil, wicked man. He had Judea, Samaria, and Galatia in fear, trembling.
Yes.
I mean, they were in fear, this man, because he went around slaying. Let me go put some Christians in jail. I don't want nothing to do with these Christians. I'm going to put them in jail. You know, and when the Lord addressed him and knocked him to his knees, the Bible says he could not see. He was blinded for 3 days. But he answered to the Lord, and he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? That's what he said. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And do you know now today, what is it, two-thirds of the New Testament is written by that man that caused fear and trembling in the lives of people. And so God would have us to do, he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, and we're living off of the anointing that Apostle Paul received after falling before God on his knees. And God has something for every single one of his children to do. We're not here just to spend time until the Lord returns. There's something for you to do. If it's nothing but reach out to the neighbor next door to you that may never hear the gospel from somebody else, somebody, you know, up in age, and they're old, and they probably can't even get in and out or go to church. But you are the church, and you can go to them, and you can minister to them. You can take them some groceries. You can go shopping to the store for them. You can do something, and you can share Jesus with them and keep them out of the flames of hell.
That is beautiful. You know, as I go down to the jail, a lot of men do not know the Bible or read the Bible. So I use the men in the Bible to bring about today's situation. I think so much as Enoch. I share with Enoch. I do a New Testament survey where we study Hebrews 11 chapter, but we study all the patriarchs it speaks about. Because they all had a little false and failure with God was able to use them. And how Enoch had a life before God. He lived 65 years. You know, and he had a family, he had responsibilities. And I tell him some of these things, they bring about a lot of difficulties, a lot of challenges. But yet, when he had an encounter with God, he lived 300 years. And I said, boy, you got a life. Your life is greater after your relationship with God. To the point that, you know, his days were 365. And I said, oh, man, that's just a calendar year. And the brother started wrapping his mind around that. I said, you in jail now, but God could do great things after you get out of here if you hold on to it. And I know that you share that with the men and women because as they on the street, and we know that some of them been there a long time. I share it with people that said, you know, hey, man, I've been here 20 years. And I got to thinking 20 years, but yet God is still speaking to them. Is there anything too hard for God? He ain't gave up on me 20 years. They done heard the gospel. And one day it's going to take.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, minister, now tell us something before we get off the air. When you go down there, how do you address the men and women? Because sometimes I hear people in the body say, I don't know how to talk to them. I don't know what to say. What is it what we would say to people in a situation like that?
Okay. Well, because I'm very serious about what I do, I take a sound system with me so everybody can hear me. And the first thing I'll say, you know, either I'll say, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ. I bring you something to eat, compliments of Jesus Christ. And if you're out here and you're hungry and you're homeless and you need something to eat or you need something to wear, come over here and get something. It's free, compliments of Jesus Christ. And this is the key, Jesus Christ. You have to constantly say Jesus Christ, because if you just say God, there's a lot of gods. People, you know, there's a lot of gods. People have their own God, but Jesus is the one and true God. And so, you know, I say the name, but I have people, when they're getting off the DART train, they'll come and they'll come over to me and they say, I heard your voice when I got off the train, and it drew me. I heard what you were saying, and it drew me. You
Jesus.
Know what the Bible says? No man comes unto God unless he draws them. And so when you go out with the Word of God, you might be feeling within yourself inadequate, but guess what? It's not about you. It's about the Word of God, because when the Word goes forth, God draws people to his Word. So you have to be bold about that. And when they come over to me, some of them need prayer. Some of them are hungry. Some of them are just thankful. Some of them, I have one lady, she was a homeless lady. You know, most people that are homeless, ladies, I notice. You know, it's funny, now that I think about it, women going to carry a purse, you know. We're going to carry a purse whether we're homeless or not. Homeless people, women, they have their little extra bags more than men. Most men don't have a whole lot. And I gave, you know, I was giving out the food, and this one lady, she stopped, and she took the food, and she was so thankful. She just stopped and started digging deep down in her bags, because there was something in there she wanted to give me. And it was a little emerald-colored stone. And, you know, she gave me that stone. I still have that stone, because I know that that stone meant something to her. It was precious, and she wanted to share it and say thank you. So all you need to do is go out and be that vessel. Have the Word in you. And you know what? You don't have to have a lot of Word in you, because you know what? I still need more every day. I want to know it like, you know, like Jesus knows it. But when you take the Word of God, He will use you to be a blessing.
Amen. God bless you. You know what? I am excited about what you're doing, because ministry like yours, it reached my heart and it touched me when I was displaced. I lived a crazy lifestyle once, and I was out there and I was doing these things. But ministries like yours came along and encouraged me. One after another, God was speaking to me through situations, through the resources that I was receiving, through the words of encouragement. It was reaching and reaching. And I got to thinking, I said, how much Word is being reached to the men and women. Sometimes we won't see them but one time, but we know that the Word of God will follow them mm-hmm. wherever they go. We know that mm-hmm. God will never, ever leave them,
mm-mm.
you know. And at the end of the day, if they have nothing else to think about, they can think about the love of God,
Amen.
The love of Jesus
Amen.
In their life, and how someone encouraged them. As you said, it's drawing them.
Mm-hmm.
The Word draws them. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
as I and other people are doing ministry, we have to have an assurance that we're on the right track for our Lord and Savior. We have to have
yes.
an assurance through the Holy Spirit that what we're doing through the will of God is helping changing lives. Because guess what? Someone changed our lives. As you
Amen.
Said, someone spoke to you. That's what it is. That's
right.
what I said, help change a life. And, you know,
yes.
as you were sharing the gospel, I was thinking about how I share with the men at any opportunity that I get that we have to get plugged up to God's GPS system. You know, because
mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy 28 says, if you hear God's voice today, it harden not their heart, you know.
Amen.
He'll lead you.
Amen.
And that's what, you know, and as you are sharing the gospel with the men downtown, they hear that. They getting plugged up to God's GPS system, and God is riding them to you just for a
Hallelujah.
Season. Someone on that transit that may have the money, it may have a comfort to a world standard, but they hurt and they broken spiritually.
That's right.
And they say, I
That's
needed
right.
to hear this. I got enough money.
Hallelujah.
I got a place to go. I even got engagements this weekend, but I'm still lonely. I'm still
empty.
Frustrated. And the gospel
yes.
is the only thing that
yes.
can ease that pain, that frustration.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you. And as we get ready to get out of here, give us words of encouragement as you speak to a nation. You speak to a nation
okay.
concerning the Word of God. Encourage someone that God hadn't forgot about them, that God loved them.
Oh, yes, I'm gladly. Father God, I just ask that you continue right now to touch every listener and draw them by your Spirit, Father God. I pray that the words that were spoken today would just go deep down in their soul, and Father, that it would follow them throughout the day and keep their attention. And listener, let me encourage you. God is for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? No one, nothing is too difficult for our God. Nothing. For with God, all things are possible. So I just want to encourage you, all things are possible. All things. And the last thing you want is a heart of unbelief. What did that man say to Jesus? He said, I believe, Lord, but help thou my unbelief. Just take your unbelief to the Lord. Pray the same prayer. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And he will. I want to encourage you to get in the Word, stay in the Word, because the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It will pierce through, dividing asunder soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. God bless you.
Amen. Before we let you go, do you have a contact number so anyone that's listened to this program, whether near or far, can contact you and maybe ask, what can I do for your ministry? We realize that that it takes resources, it takes things to work the ministry, but most of all, it takes laborers. You know, God, he supplies. But sometimes we need somebody to walk beside us and someone that wants to learn about the ministry. Someone just wants to be there. And we realize that everything is seasonal. Someone may just come for a season just to get some insight on this type of ministry. Do you have numbers that you can share with us so someone can contact you?
I absolutely do, and I do actually have a need for anybody that's listening, and that is the need to help me get my tax-exempt status back up to par so that it can continuously be, once again, the nonprofit ministry, because I do need a building to get people off the streets and housed. My contact number is my direct number, 682-553-0553, Yvette Powers. And I appreciate hearing from you. And if you want to come along in any capacity, you say, I got some clothes, or, you know, I want to donate to the food ministry, or I want to come out and help give out food, my number again is 682-553-0553. Thank you so much in advance, and God bless you all.
Hey, man, I tell you what, I'm going to take you up on that. Now, how often do you go out so someone say, hey, I want to go, and your location, is it fixed, or do you kind of just go to different places?
I typically go to downtown Lamar and Commerce, and that's where they expect to see me. That's where the West End, that's West End Avenue where the train stops, the DART train, right there on the corner. And I go on the weekends. It's either going to be Friday nights or Saturday in the early afternoons. And I can't, of course, go when it's raining, you know, because I got my sound equipment, it'll get wet. So I try to go when the weather is conducive. But those are the times, those are the days and times that I go. And just give me a call and we can talk about when I'm going and we can go together.
Amen. God bless you. Now, you have heard the call. Now, minister needs some help. She needs some resources. But most of all, she needs godly men and women to help be a part of the ministry. We want to thank you for what you're doing, and we want to pray that God continually to use you mightily.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
As we get ready to get out of here, close us out in the word of prayer. Amen.
Amen. Father God, it is a good thing to give thanks. And we thank you for this broadcast that you've ordained and that you've allowed to sustain and to be a blessing to people and opening the hearts and minds of people. I ask that you will continue to do that and that you would do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think for this particular radio broadcast internet ministry, Father God, touching hundreds and thousands of lives around the world, Father God. Father, I ask that you would minister to those, again, that hear this word and will hear it as they go back and listen again and tell their friends and tell their family, Father God, that you would touch them and grip them by the Holy Spirit, that they are tossed and turned and not able to sleep until they surrender their lives unto Father, unto you, Father God, and to the will of God and the call of God on their lives. Protect us all, God, as we continue to do the work of the ministry. Help us to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you love us and you gave your life for us through the person of Jesus Christ. We lift him up and ask that you continue to draw others unto yourself through our works and through our hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you now, Minister Powell. God bless you.
Bless
we pray
you.
That you continue to do the work of the ministry, and we would love for you to come back on at a later date to give us an update and encourage us to continue to be about our Father Jesus' business.
Hallelujah. Well, thank you so much, Minister Lewis, and I would love to come back again, thank you, and give you an update, okay?
God bless you. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Alrighty.
Amen. Hey, oh, what a great guest that we had there. Amen. what a great guest we have there with Minister Powers there. Hey, man, she's doing a street ministry in the heart of downtown Dallas, encouraging men and women to come unto the Lord just as they are. All that is powerful. We have the phone lines that lit up right now, and then we have our co-hosts on the line right now, Brother Daniels. He's going to come on. Good morning, Brother Daniels.
Good morning. Good morning, Reverend.
Good morning. Welcome aboard. Welcome back. Welcome back, brother.
Yeah, it feels good to be back this Saturday. How you doing?
I'm saying, I'm doing great. Oh, man, did you hear that interview we had a while ago? With
it was amazing. She has a powerful testimony and a powerful voice.
Yes. A voice, man, that reaches, man, the hearts of the men and women that's homeless downtown, man. We know a lot of times people are always running around. They say they're too busy, man, but yet they stopping to hear the gospel in the heart of downtown. That's powerful, that brother.
Powerful. It's powerful, no.
That is powerful. That is powerful. And, you know, and as she was sharing that, how she go out and she put together little care packages for the people that she encounter, and how sometimes her resources are limited, but yet other organizations, other programs come alongside of her, and they support what she's doing. And that's why I love that, man, because God don't give us anything that he can't help us support, Brother Daniel. If God put it on your heart,
start, nothing he can't finish.
Yes, he's going to give you the resources.
Amen.
And he's also going to send people beside. You know, she said she have different people to come down there. And, you know, and that always surprised me, because in ministry, where we all that's in ministry, sometimes we find ourselves out there by ourselves, but God never leaves us by ourselves.
Amen. Amen. Well, Reverend Lewis, this Saturday, I want to tell you about last weekend. I took a trip with my church to a town called Ephola, Atlanta, Georgia. It's a little town outside of Atlanta. We visited some of Eddie Long's church. We visited the site for the Martin Luther King Center. I went up in the Ebenezer Baptist Church, the original church of Dr. Martin Luther King, where he said that powerful speech. And we've seen the King Center, was the Freedom Hall. We've seen his home. I've seen the very house that Martin Luther King grew up in. You know, see his beds and his rooms. You know, they refurbished the house. They kind of fixed it up. But it's the original house. And basically, it's kind of ironic that when you look around all these different cities, you see people giving parades. And mostly, to me now, this is my thought now, Reverend Lewis, I see people exalting themselves instead of forgetting about the original theme of Dr. King. I mean, he gave up his life so you can go out and run around and stay out late and do some of the things, you know, black people couldn't do back in the day. So basically, what I see it as is just like it's more ceremonial proceedings and parades and, you know, and all this, instead of forgetting about the main thing that's even what's happening today with the organ and the fighting on the streets and people not getting along. God, Dr. King's dream was that basically we get along with each other and we work out our differences with the help of God. You agree to that, Reverend Lewis?
Yes, I do. I agree with you on that, bro. You know, last week as we celebrated the nation set aside the birth of Martin Luther King and what he did in the society and how he has set the standard. And I had asked our guest last weekend, what did Martin Luther King impact make in your life, Brother Daniel?
Well, basically he taught me to keep fighting for what I believe in. You know, it's a hard thing for somebody to, you know, to tell you don't do something. If you do something, we're going to hit you in the head, or we're going to, you know, burn your house down, or we're going to, oh, man, I got something else to tell you, too. You know, Dr. King's mom played the piano, and she played the piano in the church, and somebody killed her in that very Ebenezer Baptist Church.
I remember that. I remember that. It was many years ago.
So, you know, that family has been through a whole lot even before he came to do what happened to him, you know. So it's stuff that's happening before that led up to this thing, that this struggle shouldn't be forgotten about.
Yes. And you know, and that's the thing of the enemy. You know, back in biblical time when the Pharaoh wanted to get rid of the firstborn of the children of the Israelites, you know, the enemy wants to destroy a generation with the drugs and the incarceration. He's out to destroy a generation. He's out to destroy families with women are now being the single parent of a household, and they have enough resources and enough wit about themselves that they can manage a household. So in a sense, the enemy say, you don't need no man. You don't need no co-laborer. You could do this yourself. And we know that's a trick of the enemy. But yet God has lifted up a standard to continually to keep the family in unity, to continue to let the family be a blessing to the neighborhood, Ricky, because the family is a blessing to the neighborhood. When the neighborhood sees that there's a family there, man, they have pride, they have respect. You got single parents and single men and women living in the neighborhood and just no kind of care about the neighborhood. But when there's a family there, because you got kids and people start taking ownership and start being protected in the neighborhood, and the enemy wants to destroy that. Now, Brother Dan, yes, you went down there. You sent me some pictures, man, that touched my heart. How did you feel when you saw those things, man, at the Ebenezer Church, man, Martin Luther King Church, and when you saw that? What impact did it make in your life?
To me, it was almost like a time tone. You know, you went back and everything I read in my history books, everything I saw on television, all the pictures about the dogs biting at the people and the police chief spraying water on the people in the streets, all this went through my head. And for me to see people nowadays be able to walk around and look at all this, and basically some of the people that are inside the exhibits were white. There's a lot of white people down there, too, wanting to see this great man's work. And so, basically, you can see everybody, you know, living together in harmony and get along with each other is basically what Dr. King wanted, you know. We all, God made everybody. And so in order for us to inhabit this world, we got to be able to get along with each other.
And that is so true. Yeah. That is so true. You know, as I was growing up, I came into the latter part of the 60s, and I remember as a child, I remember the speeches, and I remember the march, and I remember a saying that Dr. King did, a part of his speech. It's saying, whatever you do, do the best of your ability. And I thought about it. He was saying, if you was a street sweeper, sweep the streets to the point that even the angel would say, there goes a great sweeper. And I got to thinking, brother, anything that we do, we should do it to the glory of God, man. You know, we done had jobs that didn't mean very much to us in society, you know, said one of the lowest jobs, but you do it the best you can, and God will raise you up. God will give you notoriety on that job there. And that's why I share with the men. I said, it don't matter where you start. It matters where you finish in the scheme of things there. God can take a nobody and turn them to somebody.
Amen. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm looking over something, too. I said, the King's tomb, I didn't know the tomb was down there. Dr. and Mrs. King's tomb was down there. You know, I sent you a picture of the eternal flame.
Yeah, I saw that. I got it.
Yeah, he's buried down now. Right down. You know, like the National Park Service took over these buildings down here. You got a historic fire Department, you got the King Home, you got the Ebenezer Baptist Church, you got all these things putting around, and you know, the Park Department kind of made it into like a national shrine.
Yes.
You know, they stuffed the houses and the homes, they, you know, little restored the buildings and stuff to make it look presentable. And basically, it's just like walking back in a time tunnel, Reverend Lewis. You know, you see things that you look at your history books and you say, man, all this happened a long time ago, man. You know, now we are just right in it, looking at it, you know. But what can we do with it now? What should we do now?
And I'm glad you asked that now. You know, the dream of Dr. King represented, the one that he spoke on, the one that he worked toward. Is that dream still active today in the society in which we live in today?
Will you ask me that question?
Yes.
Well, to me, it's kind of tarnished a little bit. You know, there's a lot of people now, they believe in that. Some people saying he was a sellout. Some people said he kind of did things that, you know, youth today wouldn't be able to do. You know, turn their back on people and people, you know, lash out on you and hit on you and throw stuff at you. You know, even in the day.
What do you say, between, though? What do you say? What do you say?
What I say, he was a brave man. For him to know, for somebody to send you a letter, send messages to your home, telling you if you step out on that balcony, you're a dead man. But he never ran. He didn't back down. He could have left. He could have left town that day. But to me, it was God's will that he did what he did. He accepted his calling. It's like,
yes,
Moses
said,
our people to lead our people to the Israel people out of Egypt.
And that is so true. You know, as God give us a calling, we have to accept that calling. That calling has to be in us. It's so embedded in us. It's like fire that's shed up in our bone, that Jeremiah said. You know, Dr. King had a calling. You know, he may not have wanted it, but he took on the challenge. And I say he didn't want it because I don't know. But a lot of times, Rick, when God put something on us, man, a lot of times people ask you, why you doing it? You ain't got to do all that. But it'd be so, it's such a desire, man, that you would look past yourself into the needs of others. I'm pretty sure Dr. King had opportunity to do a lot of other things, but yet he took on that calling. And we as Christians, we that are born again, God have a particular calling in our life, and we should take that challenge up. That's why we said help change a life. That's why we said being free on the inside. You know, Brother Daniel, I've been knowing you for quite a while, and I really admire you, brother, because in spite of what's been on in your life, you went to school, you got your degree, man. It took you a while, but you never gave up. That desire was so bad, and also so strong in your life, man, that you did it regardless of what it took, man.
Yeah, you know, and not only that, Reverend Lewis, I got a calling on my life in the ministry. And just like, you know, other things, when God calls you and tells you to do something, you got to do it. You know.
Yes, you
do. He told me, even on my job, you know, God told me, you worked here long enough, now it's time for you to do my will. I got something else for you to do in life. Instead of, you know, and I kept asking, why me, Lord? Why me? Why me? You know, why me, you know? And he said, because I pick you. I chose you. It's not that you choosing him. He chooses you. Even before you even born in your mother's womb, God chose us to do what we're doing right now, Reverend Lewis, you know. And you know, in fact, here's another little testimony I can give right now. When I was walking down the street down there, I saw an old homeless guy sitting on the street. He had a can of beer in his hand. And my other party of people, they kept walking about him. But see, my calling basically is for the homeless people, the people on the street, the people that been on drugs and the people that been on alcohol, because I've been that way myself. Even though I don't look like it, but I've been down and out myself too. So basically what I did, I told this guy, you know, he had, like, he had a haircut, man, for about 10 years, man. His beard was all over his face. He had clothes, a little on him, been washed for months, man, you know. So I told him, I said, well, how you doing, bro? You know, I gave a, you know, the sinner's prayer to him. I gave him some pamphlets. I gave him some Bible books. And he looked at me, and I said, well, you got nothing to be ashamed about, you know. Don't try to hide the bro. I see it, you know. You can't hide it from me. You can't hide it from God. But at least you can tell God you can't help yourself. I want to change. So basically what he did, he took the books and stuck them in his pocket. And he shook my hand and said, thank you, brother. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. So basically what I'm saying, what we do is plant the seed. And later on, God will move. It might be 5 years. It may be 2 years. It may be 3 years. It might be one day. But sooner or later, that word is going to penetrate his heart and move him
and
to realize.
That is so true. That is so true, Brother Daniel.
Amen. That's my testimony,
amen.
Brother David.
Yep. Well,
I get like that sometimes, too. You know, I guess because some of the things we've been doing over there in South Dallas has kind of taught me don't look over nobody, because sometimes some of the people you see on the street might be angels you entertain also too. You heard that before him too. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Some of the
sure
people you see and talk to, and some of the folks you see, and some of the folks you give money to, or give a glass of water to, you don't know, it might be an angel came to give you a message or a word.
Yeah, and you know, Brother Day, I always like to think of someone did it for us, man. We didn't get here by ourselves. Someone encouraged me through a friend, through a coworker, just through a stranger. It was the word of God that encouraged me. And, you know, and as Scripture said, that when you are restored, you to strengthen your brother. We never know what form of strength that is. Just giving a glass of water, just giving them a track, or whatever it may be. Well, we're doing it to the glory of God. I want to thank you for what you're doing, brother, how you're encouraging men. You know, as we are coming off of remembrance of Martin Luther King, how you have been able to go to school. Do you know that Dr. King made it available for you and me to go to schools? You know, we was going, but there was a lot of backlash and a lot of discrimination. But because of what he had done, and because of the people that was with him had done, and that they set up a standard and they changed some of the law. You know, can you imagine if you weren't able to go to North Texas University, man? If you weren't able to travel freely in this country, if you weren't able to do the things that God put to your hands to do, what a world this would be today, man. You know, each time that we're able to just do things in society, we should be able to thank Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King, and the other men and women that went before us to done some things so we, too, can have freedom that we have today. And so we should be part of what's going on in society, because if we don't, we'll fall right back into a situation that held us hostage so many years ago with the economics, social programs. We have to hold fast to those things.
You have to be careful that you don't, you know, not like America is almost like this. You know, the Constitution of America is a group of laws that can be overridden and rewritten. So you have to be careful that some of the laws today won't change in order to work at for the newer people in America. And if basically I forget about our struggle, the way we went through, and, you know, I'm not saying that we special people, but if you look at it, you know, basically we physically build this country.
Yes, we did.
Because of
the black race, the, some of the laws that we enjoy today dealing with the with society is based on what we went through. I'll put it that way.
Amen.
The Jim Crow law and, you know, segregation and equal pay and equal rights. A lot of those were established because of what black men and men of color put forth. You know, even the Hispanic with the labor laws, you know, because of what we've done to set laws into motion, you know, allow people to get equal pay for equal work, you know, and how we're able to move into certain areas in neighborhoods and certain portions of the country, man, because we, you know, laid the foundation and put things into place that we too could live in the area, and we could get jobs and eat. You know, Bill, you grew up here, and it was a time where you could go down downtown Dallas into a certain area. We were young, but we knew how the laws was. You know, can you?
Yeah, you remember they had this place downtown called H.L. Green.
I remember that, man. And we could say that because it's not there anymore. It's part of history. So you could say H.L. Green. That's a part of history.
Uh-huh. And so we went downtown one day, and I saw this water fountain. And I can tell you some of this stuff was happening back then. They had two water fountains. They had one for colored only, and they had one for white. And then they had a eating place down. Now, we couldn't eat at this other cafeteria down there. We had to eat at this little bitty one up front that didn't have a lot of stuff you could eat on, you know. And so basically,
get your food and get out.
Plate. Get your food and get out. Not talking about even going in at Neiman's Marcus or these other stores downtown. You go down there, man, you liable to get put in, ran up in jail, you know. So basically, all this stuff changed because, you know, it's a shame that people had to lose their lives in order for people basically to wake up and realize that we are all the same. Now, I'm going to tell you something, what I read on day two, Deacon Lewis. I read that they've been having these DNA tests, and they've come to find out that white people got black blood in them, too.
Yeah. I done heard that. And I believe that, man, because of the slave environment and down on the plantation, they would go in there. That's why we have light-skinned black people and dark-skinned black people. And some with nice hair.
And brothers and dark-skinned brothers. And, you know, and basically some of the genes get regressive sometime, and you get more white color come out, and then later on you get a whole lot of dark color come out. So basically, it's going back to what we said at first with Adam and Eve. We are all from two people.
Yeah. You know, man, when we were younger, they had this movie out, man, and talking about Mandingo. You know, Mandingo was this slave, and he had and this slave master wife had an affair with him, and she got pregnant and had this baby, and the white man didn't like the baby, so they killed it. So you know, that's true, man. And those things that went on, man. But glory be to God, man, that he know how to turn these things around. Brother Daniel, we're about ready to get out of here, man. But I wanted you to share with our listening audience your experience of going down there to Atlanta, Georgia, to seeing some of the sites of where Martin Luther King grew up at, where he went to church at, and how the town and the city is remembering him, man. A lot of time we don't get the full impact because we're here in Dallas, but we do celebrate and we do have the parade. But until you actually right there where he walked the pavement, where he went to worship, and where he lived as a child, you know, it makes a difference, brother. When you saw those things, when you was able to touch and reach out and just stand there and just reminisce on it, how did it make you feel, man?
Well, it made me feel blessed and all to live during this time and see everything, and basically to go back and see it and view it. You know, I consider myself a blessed human being. We're blessed and really don't, we know it, but we don't appreciate it. I'll put it like that. You know, me and your mother and dad and them and all, and the way they grew up and the way they live. And we are, you know, we're getting to be older people nowadays, and we're seeing that freedom that some they never experienced, you know, and some of the stories they used to tell us, and we can say, man, God, they lived through all that day. God, I'm blessed.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
And you know,
when you look at what things are we doing with the people that's living on the streets, that's homeless, don't have nothing to eat. Basically, Jesus said the poor will always be with us. Amen. You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
This is from the word Jesus. Jesus said the poor will always be with us. So basically, it's a condition, but you don't have to have this condition. You know what I'm saying? It's a choice. Like everything else in life, you can either do this or not do this. You can step out, you can go this way, you can go that way, you can go in, or you can go out. But basically, it's a choice.
Yes, it is. There's a choice. You know, the Bible said, I lay before you, Joshua said, I lay before you a path. Choose you this day. And that's what you're saying, that choice. And you know, Brother Daniel, sometimes we make the wrong choices in life.
Make the wrong choice.
God. That's forgiving, that's merciful, that's everlasting. He looked past us, the choices that we made, and we fell short. And he still stands before us with outstretched hand and beckoning us to come on home. Man, I thank God for not giving up on me or you, or not giving up on the men and women that set that make a difference in the life that we live today. I know I say it all the time: help change a life. We want to thank Dr. Martin Luther King and the people's men and women that work with him to help change life, that span the generation. Brother Daniel, as we get ready to get out of here, brother, we would like for you, if you have a desire, to close us out in a word of prayer and just giving us thanks for this opportunity, man. And we're looking forward for you being on here next week as often as you can, because we realize you have other obligations, but yet you're still able to come out and share with us, you know, the things that concerning God.
Amen. And like I'm going to bring this prayer up with us today. As we go on in this year 2015, Lord, I'm going to ask you to bless the city of Dallas, bless the city of Irving from these catastrophes, these earthquakes we have. Bless the government, bless the world system, bless our president, Lord Jesus. Teach him and instruct him to guide this country, to make choices, the right choices, to make the people better themselves. We ask you to come in the lives of the youth in the city of Dallas. Help the people of the city councils and the government of the city of Dallas. Help them instruct us and teach us and tell us to help these people that are living on the street that cannot help themselves. Send resources from heaven, Lord Jesus, to help us do this duty you gave us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Yes. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, our brother Daniel. And you have been a part of it. You have been listening to Free on the Inside, the internet program to inform you, encourage you, and challenge you to be all you could be. We want to thank you for being a part of our listening audience today. We want to thank Minister Powers from the street ministry. She's an evangelist and ministry to the men and women that are homeless in downtown Dallas. She gave us some contact information. Please go back and listen to this program in its entirety and see what you could do to help that ministry. Amen. And we want to thank Brother Daniel for coming on and sharing his experience from his trip down in Atlanta, down there, visited the Dr. Martin Luther King Memorial, and how it made a difference in his life and how it made an impact. And you too can be a part of the program. Okay. Next week, we're coming on at from 8 to 9. The number you can call in is 310-982-4126. Be strong in the Lord and the power is might. You have been listening to Free on the Inside with Minister Lewis and Brother Ricky Daniel.